Hey now.
Hey now.
Hey now, Caitlin. Hey now.
Yeah.
I said it. I said hey now.
He did say hey now. All right. Well, you know, I don't want to be a downer, but I wasn't really into these episodes as much as other episodes.
Mm-mm.
Like that, the one on Monday was just brutal.
Yeah.
The mentel-all.
Yeah, the mentel-all was not good. I think I liked Tuesday nights, but it wasn't as good as some of the other episodes we've seen. But it was a good one. Monday was just, the mentel-all. I feel like the cheesiest joke popped into my head when I was watching it. And I was like, ugh, I wish men would just tell less.
Yeah. Totally.
The mentel-less.
There's it's just so produced. I said this so many times, but it's so producer heavy-handed. You know, it's not even like, it's supposed to be like plot devices that are just in your face. They cut them out and then they save them for later. And there's no subtlety at all. And I think we're used to more subtlety.
Well,
and like bringing Yosef back, it was like, why do we even have him here? Like, we don't have Claire here, so
or Chasen or Easy or
yeah.
Well, the Easy is probably confusing. Not there because of the sexual assault allegations.
Oh,
yeah.
Chasen about those. Was kind of strange.
Apparently, what Yosef did was way worse. That he didn't. He had a we can go into it now. He had a bad moment. And they're asking him to apologize for the sake of it. And you know that if he'd apologize, they're going to be like, he was so insincere. So why make him? Like, they're giving him a chance to be performative. And he's not taking it. I think that's fine. You know? He's not going to mean it. And why should he? I mean, he shouldn't. He should be old enough to not insult anyone like that.
Well,
he was right up until a point.
Here. I have no idea what you guys are talking about because I actually turned off the mentel-all.
Oh, that's... Well.
So this is all new to
me. Well, you didn't miss much. I took some notes, mostly about fashion, that we can talk up in the roundup because there were some outfits on that stage. But yeah, basically it was like Yosef came back so they could play the clip of him and Claire again, basically specifically just to do that, which again felt really weird. It was like, why do we need this here? Why does Yosef even have to come on if it's this one moment of drama?
That's exactly then, why I didn't watch, because so we get through the first hour of content and then they start the mentel-all, and it started off with a recap, and I was like, we're recapping episodes from the last 3 weeks. I'm not going to watch this. So I turned it off and went to sleep. It was nice.
Yeah, well, maybe there was not much there. I mean,
talk quickly about the like half an hour before mentel-all. There's not too much there either, but just some men got sent.
Well, I
got
to get a couple
like
things
that.
Off my chest.
Yeah, well, no, if you're going to do mentel-all, I mean, if you skipped it, we should at least tell you as we could skip it again. Like, we can just get it out of the way.
All right, yeah, we can do the mentel-all notes if
we
want to.
Well, the listeners of the podcast, they watched it, so they don't need a retelling of the mentel-all.
No, we just need to explain to you something, because I need to tell you something.
Well, look, here's what's really under my skin, is that it's looking more and more likely that Zach is going to win. And this podcast is no fan of Zach, as we know, as we've talked about. But it seems like Twitter is pro-Zach, and I just don't get it. Like, there were a few of us last night that were like, yeah, Zach. And I put like a barfing emoji or something. And a few people were like, yeah, Zach sucks. But there's so many people who were like, oh, I really like Zach. He seems so great, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? Like, what? I mean, just to get analytical, you could come down to it in the number system. You know, if Tayshia's like an 8 or a 9, Zach would have to be at least a 6 or a 7 in order to satisfy my 2 either way rule. And I don't think he is a 6. I think he's a 5 or below. So just based on pure objective number system, he doesn't qualify. But then so much about him is like shifty. It's just
well, he wasn't in the mentel all. Yeah, I have a lot to say about Zach, but let's get the mentel all.
Yeah,
out.
Of course he wasn't in the mentel. In that.
No, I'm saying that let's get the mentel all out of the way because it's so.
I want to get Zach out of the way.
No, I have lots to say about Zach. He's horrible.
Yeah, we can't talk get about him Zach. Out of the way.
Yeah, he's not like
he's such a huge part of this episode and
season.
Let's
just skip mentel all. Who cares?
No, Craig. What? No, we're talking about mentel all.
No, two against one.
Fine. Go ahead.
Okay.
Bore our audience with mentel all talk. I'll be quiet.
So
I won't
the
say
podcast
anything.
Is about.
As we lose listeners every minute, I won't say anything.
I'm gonna save the
just
fashion
keep my mouth
stuff from mentel all because we're gonna do a fashion roundup. So we're not gonna talk about any of their suits or new haircuts, etc. But they had them. The only things I wrote about mentel all were that Blake got a boner on the like crystals date.
Yes. Did you see that, Craig?
Blake got a boner.
He had an
date.
Erection.
Yeah. See, you wouldn't have seen this, date. Craig, because if you saw the date on the first half of the show,
yeah,
like the half an hour or so, they show it's part of like the blooper reel or whatever, I guess, the things you haven't seen is when they were lying down on the blankets and like shirts off kind of stuff. And she was, the woman was swinging like a crystal above them. And Blake had a boner the whole time, apparently.
That's what the blooper was? Like, they were showing us that he had a
boner. They showed that he had a boner and everyone laughed.
Separate.
And again, Blake is
the blooper
guy
reel.
Who loves dicks and boners, I guess, because this is like his thing.
His thing? It's like a natural. What the hell? His
it
thing?
Is.
But you're
saying,
right,
like,
but
with
what
the like,
hell?
You know, the,
I'm not what the helling you. I'm OP. Like,
yeah,
there's
the
no poster.
Show is like, the Blake's hell? Deal is that this guy made a dick out of clay and also
like,
he right. got a boner.
Dicks, ergo, very heterosexual. Like, that's the connection we're supposed to make? What the hell? They black barred his dick. Right.
Yeah, they did. It was,
but
it
was
a thing that happened.
Like it wasn't
God,
a vertical
I missed
black
one
bar.
Mental law.
It was a horizontal black bar.
That's,
so where's the erection?
It's unclear exactly. We have to assume that there was an erection going on because they did the bar and everyone's laughing about it. But you couldn't really tell because of the black bar what exactly. Yeah, it was like, I don't know. He was wearing like maybe swim trunks, it looked like on the bottom.
Yeah. Like what? Craig, you at least fast forward to that. Just to tell us more.
What on earth are we even talking
if
about?
If someone says to you, hurry, go run into the locker room, this guy is doing something ridiculous, like, you know, I'm imagining what guys tell each other is in the locker room. You run and go and see it, right?
I don't want to see a blacked out boner.
Well, just everyone's reaction to it is kind of very, I don't know, like, European is not the right word, but they're all kind of laughing like folksy, like as if, oh, Blake and his, you know, passing gas. Like, that's what the laughter feels like. It feels, if I was there, I'd be like, ew, I don't want to see this guy's bone, like, you know, erection. And no one reacts the way I think normal society would react. Isn't that?
Yeah, I think it's very, like, obviously you can't, well, I'm saying obviously, like, I know I don't have one, so I'm not entirely sure how all of this works, but my understanding is that you can't really control it all of the time. It just sort of, you know, Tayshia's in a bathing suit or whatever, and he gets a boner. It's like a thing that happens,
but,
right?
But no, but he's laying down and he's getting like his crystal red. So therefore, where is that coming from? Why?
I'm laughing so hard because the whole situation is so like, first of all, that date, I was like, oh my, of course they have to have this kind of date, right? Like, this is a very Bachelor franchise date where it's like, we're gonna get your chakras aligned here. You're gonna have to like have a tantric breathing exercise together. It would make more sense to me if he got the boner during the tantric breathing exercise because they were like in a sex position, basically.
Yeah. And, you know, Caitlin, that whole area is very, very that. People, remember, Craig, we were talking about the sound bath? That's where I had that sound bath in this weird place there.
La Quinta?
Where, no, it was close by, though. And as I was telling you that I got a tour from one of the sound bath guys, and he very casually mentions, and this is where the founders of our sound bath were abducted by aliens and had alien babies. And everyone was like, oh, uh-huh.
Ooh.
And we were like, what? No? What? What'd you just say? So that whole area is very floofy floof. I don't know what, you know, like hippy dippy like that.
Yeah, hippie-ish. That would, you know, I would really like a bachelor date that was the sound bath alien thing. That would be way better to me.
They're going to do it. They're definitely, let's see how long. Well, I guess they're back to normal, but that is not, that's on their radar now that they went down there, I'm sure. Well, Craig, Mentel All, erection. There's also.
Boring.
Yeah, okay. But there's also a lot of anger towards Noah from Kenny. Did you see that?
No.
You not
of
care?
Course
okay.
not.
You don't care.
No, okay. I turned it off.
All right. Well, I don't know where you turned it off.
I turned it. I'm telling you, as soon as they started showing replays from last week, I was like, I can't do this.
Okay.
So I turned it off.
Well, the one, everyone's coming out against Noah, as you'd imagine. Riley. So the last thing about the Mentel All that was interesting was that. I feel like Tayshia on the first half of that episode made Riley feel really bad for no reason. Like, she was basically saying too little too late when we all know she was not that interested in him. And so he comes on the Mentel All and after he got dumped and was like, did I just open up too late? And she's like, yeah, but we know that's not really the truth, so it seems kind of rude to me. Right. But so that's what happened. Nothing else happened, right? Caitlin, anything else from Mentel All?
No, just like the fashion stuff that we're going to talk about later in the mentions. Okay. But other than that, it was Bennett and Noah like round 60 with the other men jumping in and Riley having sort of this like heart to heart with Tayshia over, you know, their thing, which I agree with you. I feel like this was something about that first part of the episode where she has these very emotional reactions to breaking up with Blake and Riley, both, right? And part of me was like, well, I don't fully understand why she's so upset, because to me as a viewer of this show, I'm thinking it's never going to be Blake for sure. Like, that's, you know, they're like, he's not the guy. So
yeah, what?
I don't know why you're so sad about him. It made a little more sense to me with Riley in that they'd spent more time together. And maybe she just feels like there's that aspect of feeling bad that you're hurting somebody's feelings, obviously. So then like you feel sad about that. But I think I agree with you that I don't think she was ever into Riley in like a sexual dating way. I think she thought he's interesting to talk to. He seems like a nice guy. You know, he hasn't done anything terrible like some of the other men. So like, why not keep him around? You know, like you're going to keep him for a bit because there's nothing wrong with him. He's a perfectly nice person to date, and you got to keep somebody. So like, you might as well keep him in it. And his read was like, well, keeping him around longer just made him feel more invested and feel like he actually had a chance. And then that made him feel more hurt. And that's a good point, honestly, to say like, you know, why did you keep me if it was never going to be me? And then she says it's more timing and blah, blah, blah. And I think I agree with you, EZR, that I don't think it was the timing or him like not opening up early enough or something. He opened up. I think it was that she was never that into him.
Yeah, and it's totally not fair to think, and that's kind of, it goes into the Ben thing. We don't have to get into that yet. But I think when they set up these scenarios and they kind of tell her what to say, they're just too simple. Like saying, oh, he didn't say I love you, therefore he was caught. Like, I have a lot to say about Ben, but that, on Tayshia's side, I think that is the wrong way to go. It is not a good, it's just not healthy to like tell people it's basically their fault, you know? And it's not you, it's me, whatever. but it was her.
I invented it's not you, it's me.
I know.
Yeah, I think I agree that, and we'll definitely talk about this more with Ben towards the end of the episode, but that, and it's slightly different in that I think she did like Ben, but this narrative of saying, like, well, they didn't open up soon enough. They didn't let me know they loved me soon enough, therefore I couldn't get connected to them. And it's like, sure, that might happen on this show sometimes, but ultimately it seemed like in both of those situations, a lot of what it boiled down to is like there were other men that she liked better, that she felt more feelings with, so that's who she picks.
What, I'm just shocked we're putting this much time into this, because it's like this show is where you cut people progressively episode to episode, and we're investing a lot of time talking about guys that were cut right before hometowns when you need to make those cuts. It's like, okay, you're cut, fine, bye. Okay, Tayshia cried, that was a nice
it's because addition. she told them that it was for this one reason, where she could just say what every other lead says, which is you're just not the person for me. And she does kind of say that to
Riley. So you're frustrated, Riley, because she said it's not you. She said it's not me, it's you to Riley.
And to Ben, kind of, even though the Ben thing I think is Ben. It actually is him. Like, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think there's an element of
but
that
with Riley,
that makes sense. And again,
it wasn't him.
I think she liked Ben more. But yeah, I think it was, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I know why people do this. You know, she's trying to say, it's like a thing that you say to, like, ease the blow, to let them off easier, to make it be like, there's nothing wrong with you, it simply wasn't the time for us. And it's like, well, there is nothing wrong with Riley, right? He seems perfectly nice, and I'm sure he'll hopefully one day have a nice, healthy relationship, but it was more that she just didn't like him enough that way. It wasn't the chemistry.
Right, and that's what is getting me frustrated. It's like, Riley should chill. Because he made it to be, basically the fifth guy?
This is what happens when you don't watch The Men Tell All, Craig. He, was crying, and it made me sad. So, I mean, he's pulling on our heartstrings. And this is, it didn't actually, it's TV. But in terms of within the TV realm,
next you're going to start watching A Million Little Things. And this is going to be a podcast
feel.
What's the other one? There's A Million Little Things, and then what's the other emo?
The crap shows. Yeah. What's it called? This Is Us.
This Is Us, yeah.
Oh, This Is Us. I've never seen it, but
don't waste your time.
I'm aware that it's very emotional, apparently.
And you know why I think Riley
apparently
is a little bit more sincere? Because Easy, when he was cut, and Bennett, when he was cut, there's like a huge divide into people who can keep their composure and who don't. And so he kind of had like a not keeping his composure thing, Riley did. And so I did.
Yeah.
It felt a little bit more sincere for The Bachelor.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I think I agree with that. With both Easy and Bennett, they were very much like, they said almost exactly the same thing, which is like, I can't believe this is happening. You know, they're like, this is really happening. You're cutting me right now, which also always seems a little weird to me in that it's like, yeah, I feel like you both probably should have been able to tell that that's where that was going. I mean, I guess with Ben, it's like she brought him back to the rose ceremony to not give him a rose, which feels so like, why did you waste our time with this? Mm-hmm. And I say this, of course, as a known Bennett hater, that I'm like, I don't need more Bennett time on my TV ever. He's my least favorite part of Mento.
So there you go. There is the, like, obviously there was a story there, but then there was drama elsewhere, so they shifted the focus. But also, no one would have let him do that if it wasn't just for a little bit more screen time. You know, that's a total producer, like, we'll cut you a deal. We'll give you this much more screen time. Like, it just feels so forced, because there was no, in the end, there should have been a better story there. There should have been another conversation. And there wasn't. It's annoying.
Yeah, I think that's what made it feel so weird, is it had this weird buildup, right? Of, he goes to her room, he says he's in love with her, she's so conflicted. She tells him to come back to the, like, the cocktail party before the rose ceremony, but then she decides not to have the cocktail party because she already knows who she's going to pick. So they don't have another conversation, and then it feels very much, why is Bennett here? You know, why did we waste this time of him confessing his love when and bringing him back and allowing him to come to this thing for the world's lamest drama, you know? It's like, totally. Oh, the drama of Bennett's return to the house and the men are mad about it. And so they're mad for like 1 second because then we go into the rose ceremony. So,
right. Yeah. Duh. Buh. Buh. Okay, Craig. I think we got Mentel all out of our system. Yay. Right, Caitlin? Anything else?
No, I think there's nothing but the fashion I'll bring up later. And from that first part of Monday's episode, there's not much there either that I could think of to bring up, other right. than obviously we know who goes home at this point, so that progresses the storyline. And something interesting happened to me that I guess is slightly related to fashion, but not enough that I'd save it for that, is in the cocktail party that didn't happen right before the rose ceremony when the men are talking, there was a moment where I looked at Zach and I thought he actually looked attractive. So I think I'm softening on him.
Oh my gosh. I need an intervention.
I am taking away your heterosexual license. You are now.
And I was like, is it just like the suit is really good or something? Is that the best thing they're talking about? It's like, pack was the bags. Suit great? And that made me suddenly feel like maybe he's cute. Yeah. But in the next episode, I didn't have Maryland. The same.
We'll be there tomorrow. We're going to have an
staging
intervention.
We're going to expose.
We're going to take you to a male strip club.
I was thinking of like, you know, Clockwork Orange opening her eyes and showing her like reel of like, I don't know.
Oh boy.
Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt.
Oh, great.
I mean, I couldn't think of one good looking guy. About great. This. we could talk more about it in when we get to Zach's like hometown section, because yeah, I still have a lot of things about Zach that I don't like, but I have softened a little.
I don't like where this is going.
I don't like where this is going either. And I'm here. Like, I'm a heterosexual woman, I guess. I think. I'm pretty, so far. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe we should just do this sort of in order of the men in their dates, right?
Okay. I gotta jump to Zach. I can't do it.
All right, you want to go? All right, yeah, we can talk about Brendan after that.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Yes,
Zach.
Let's skip to Zach and his date and everything that's going on there.
I don't want to accuse anyone of being a wino, but the mom is a total wino.
You are calling oh my God, Craig, you're calling a like recovering addict's mom an addict.
She totally. Well, that's why I called her a wino. See, a wino, I don't think, is an alcoholic. A wino is just somebody who drinks a lot, but maybe doesn't take it to the alcoholic level. Yeah. But you could tell she drinks a lot. Her face is all puffy and blush.
I think that might be... So I was thinking about this when we saw his family, right? And one of my reactions, and this felt like so superficial, but I was like, Zach's family all looks really old. Then I was like, well, I guess he's the youngest kid, presumably. But even his brother, I thought the brother in the previews when they showed like the brother talking to Tayshia, I thought that might have been Zach's dad. So I was like, oh, wow, they all look pretty old for the ages I assume they are. And then that made me be like, Zach looks older than 36. And maybe it's simply a genetic thing, too. Like this is the genes he's getting. Or maybe they're all people who don't age well.
Or they drink a lot. That's true.
They drink a lot.
I think
smoke.
It's the drinking. Yeah, they definitely do look like how you look. You know how drinking, how alcohol ages you. Not good alcohol ages.
See,
you.
See, I was right.
Well, I'm not saying you're right. I'm just saying that they do look like that.
You're not saying I'm right, except all the evidence points to me being.
Yeah, I can't come to your conclusion because I don't have the like smoking. Okay. Well,
I mean, cheers to Zach, I guess, for being, you know,
you're
being...
cheersing him. Are you crazy?
With water. I'm cheersing him with water. Oh, that he doesn't seem to mind people blatantly drinking in front of him.
Yeah,
yeah, that's actually, I know I have like recovering alcoholics who are friends, and that's a thing that's really hard, right? That when you're
socializing,
socializing around people who are drinking, that is like the social encouragement to also drink is very strong. So
yeah,
if he's been staying sober in a family that's like drinking around him, that is really tough.
Yeah. I think Tayshia was drinking water, though, to her credit. I'm pretty sure that was water that she had in her hand when she cheers the mom who had a full glass of white wine.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You know, it's just like not sustainable. I know lots of recovering addicts, and the partners tend to drink in secret. And it's like, that's not a sustainable attitude to have. Like, you just have to be able to be yourself around your partner. And that's not even a knock necessarily on the recovering addicts. That's more on the partners who think they can still drink. You have to go through what they're going through, or else it's not going to work. Anyway, okay. So, all
right, I'm glad we got that out of the way.
No, we're not out of the way. I am really upset as I'm watching this that she will pick Zach. I'm fully convinced now, and it's all because I feel she sees little dollar bills, like the empire building things. And it's empire versus compatibility, or in conjunction with, like, whatever she can get middle of the road on both. And I think that if we haven't heard Zach talk about this yet, but I think if he loves Jesus, then that's it. She is sold on Zach, and it makes me really sad because she's a Jesus lover. She's a Christian, right?
Yeah,
I did know that. Concordia, and she does University. Mention, yeah, and she mentions it with one of the I'm trying to remember which family it is, but I think it might have been with Ivan's family, talking to his dad, where she says, like, you know, her divorce is God was teaching her something, that kind of stuff. So she's brought it up, but yeah. No idea if any of these men are actually seriously religious, because I can't recall any of them talking about it.
Well, she seriously is. Like, she's talked about her faith, referring to it as her faith. So there, that's like, to me, well, okay, you are very religious. If you won't even say it, if you won't say, I'm, you know, oh, I guess I'm like a Christian or something.
It's actually really interesting, because if this is a big part of her life, which it certainly seems like, and I feel like she talked about it on Colton season 2, you would think in the past when we've seen religious folks on the show, it is always important to them that their partner is also religious, right? Like, you think of Maddie on Peter's season and Luke P on Hannah Brown's season, where, like, it is something they'll talk about as being like, this is how you know it's a match to a certain degree, right? Is that this person feels similarly to you on this subject. And it doesn't seem like, unless they haven't shown these conversations on TV, but they've had them, it seems like Tayshia hasn't talked about faith with any of these top guys.
Well, if he's in a typical 12-step recovery, he's definitely had faith questions, and I'm sure he's, and if it worked for him, it might have worked, period. Or maybe he was already religious.
Yeah.
I just, there's all kinds of shades of Christianity on this show. So, and I mean Christianity, not just faith, only Christianity. Or else you're getting brought down by everyone around you, i.e. Joseph. Joseph. It just makes me sad for her, because, like I said, like, if I feel like I'm Tayshia sometimes, and it makes, like, how that seems very corruptible. And there's a lot of incompatibility between being such a hardcore Christian and empire building. I can't get over that. I can't get over that phrase.
I don't know. Look at Hobby Lobby.
I don't care what the norm is. I'm saying that it's not okay.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I'm saying
I think the two go hand in hand. Christianity developed when the transition from feudal to capitalism. Two go hand in hand.
There's history, but I've also known people who have rejected all that because of...
Well, she's not of the Christian faith that rejects it.
Right.
Plain and simple.
Well, I also...
There's no incompatibility there.
There's incompatibility in actual theory, but there's no incompatibility in practical life. I it I'm hoping that she, because, man, this guy fucking bugs me so much. There's so much about him that really, really bothers me. And one of the things that bothers me is that he's all about the non-branding branding. He's always acting like, oh, yeah, that's not me. But you know he's going to have those posts that are like, look, I'm not an Instagram guy. Here's a very Instagrammy picture. Like, it's just, he's playing this role of like, oh, man, I wasn't even going to go on The Bachelor, but now here I am and I might win it. Like, he's just such a hypocrite. And we talk about that word losing its meaning and not being as meaningful as it should be. And we shouldn't use it that often because we're all hypocrites, but he is the worst version of that word.
Tell us how you really feel.
Another thing here is that there is such a, this season reminds me of this really bad season of the show Cheaters. Do you guys remember that show?
Do I?
I love that
show. Vaguely. I never watched it.
Oh, it's so good, Caitlin. Joey Greco.
Joey Greco's my hero, man.
Yeah, me too. Hey.
I wonder what he's doing now, because he left the show, right?
He got fired, and Clark Jr. Jr., Clark Gable Jr. Jr.
Yeah, Clark
Jr.
Gable. It's Caitlin. It's
took
Clark,
his place.
It's Clark Gable's grandson, who looks took exactly his... like Clark Gable.
Whoa. Yeah.
I want to see that guy. And then
he committed suicide recently.
What?
Yeah. Yes.
Whoa.
He died?
Yes.
He completed suicide?
Yes.
Clark Gable's grandson?
Yes.
Host
of Cheaters. And I think either they were revamping the show or they had taken a break, but he was off as host. And yes, it was about a year ago or maybe less.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's well, heavy. Fact. But anyway. There was this really bad season of Cheaters that was absolutely, totally fake. And it was so hard to watch. Because, okay, basic premise of Cheaters is that someone suspects.
Basic premise of Cheaters?
Well, no.
Let me give you the basic premise of Cheaters. There's people cheating.
Yeah, but Craig, there's the best part of Cheaters, and it's not that good unless you have this buildup.
Yeah,
and so it's
the
a
fight
great...
when they confront them. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And you can watch this show, I mean, endlessly. You can watch repeats because it's just so well done. They get someone who's like, they do on-camera interviews where they're upset and doubting themselves, and a PI follows them, inevitably catches them. Then cheating. They... Right. And then like at 9 p.m. on a Saturday, they meet this person, yeah, the person suspects, on a roof, right? Yeah. On like a rooftop of Dallas.
Yeah, it's always in Dallas.
Yeah. They're like,
and you know it's in Dallas because the buildings are lit up, like the skyline.
right. It's always, yes. Well, they're only licensed in Texas. Huh. So then, right. Joey Greco's like, Gomez, we got eyes on him. And the guy's like, so classic like PI name, right? And so Saturday night at like midnight, what do you expect the person to be drunk or having sex and all this stuff, right? They go to the bar or to the house or to the sex club and confront them all. And at some point, everyone knows in Dallas that Cheaters is coming, and everyone goes, Cheaters, Cheaters. And then there's a huge fight, and then they fight with the person with the lover, and then they follow them to the car, and it's all very sad. And then afterwards they have like the interviews of like what happened. Anyways, great show. This reminds me of that because it's, and then there was a season that was horrible. That was completely made up. Now, Craig, you remember the episode where they ran into a sex house and there was a goat?
No.
Okay.
My Cheaters knowledge is not that in depth.
There was also an episode where there was like a metal guy, and then they called him and he's like, I don't care if I cheated, metal forever, or something like that. It was so fake, and it bothered me because there's tons of cheaters. Just get a cheater. Anyway, my point is that I don't like where this franchise is going. This is going on way too long. I just don't like letting it slide that they're setting her up for someone she maybe doesn't really like, or that she could break up with after the fact and get even more followers and get some sympathy. It all seems so fake to me. And I hate that she's letting herself.
Let me get this straight here. We just did 10 minutes on cheaters. Why exactly?
I didn't think I'd have to explain cheaters, but it's because there was a fake.
You didn't have to explain cheaters, but you did anyway.
I love cheaters. I can't help it. because there was a season. Sorry, you're right. I didn't connect.
There's a season of cheaters that's fake.
It was fake, and it made me stop watching temporarily.
And you're worried that this season is that of Bachelor.
Yeah.
Because Zach is fake.
Because their relationship is either fake or agreed upon. Zach feels fake to me. Tayshia feels like she thinks she could, like, possibly carry on some. Like, I don't feel like she's as into him as they're letting us on. And, by the way, here's Chris Harrison speaking on it.
I really want to marry someone. Yeah. I really want to be with someone and have a really happy life after this.
Like, at this point, you're splitting hairs. These are all good guys. You could end up with any of them and be perfectly happy.
Absolutely.
But who do you really love? That's what we got to figure out.
So, basically, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, throw a fish in the barrel and see who, you know, what number comes up. Like, it's just so, like, so no one cares. Masks off. Not even the host can say anymore. You have to, you know, pick the guy that is your soulmate. He's just like, pick a dude, do it, anyone. You'll be fine. That's like what he said.
I wrote down that Chris Harrison quote in my notes because that came, it was on Monday night in the half before Men Tell All, because I remember clearly thinking when he said it, at that point there were still like 8 guys or whatever, 7 maybe. And I was like, no, she can't just pick any of these guys to be happy. Some of these guys are clearly like, that was before Blake was sent home. And I was like, you can't pick Blake and be happy. You guys don't make any sense together, you know? So I was like, this is a weird thing to say. I feel like now at the top 3, she could choose any of those guys and it's kind of all the same, if that makes sense. That like,
But really,
I'm very Brendan on the fence about Zach.
But right? Brendan's too soft-spoken to be an influencer. Is that
the thing? Is
that's the difference?
I think she likes Brendan because it seems like they have, like, it looks like chemistry to me when they're together, right?
Yeah.
But that he is not the kind of person who looks like he would be making a ton of money off of an influencer life, even though I think he's like modeled before in the past. So he has the attributes where he could potentially do that kind of thing, but he just seems very quiet and very like not like the kind of person who's going to be splashed all over social media. But
yeah,
I can see what you're saying in terms of Zach very much has more of a personality and like a brand kind of thing, particularly with like him being on the board of the Sober House and stuff like that, where he's selling himself and his lifestyle because it is part of his job, right? To say like, he's a success story for the thing that he works at. So like selling himself in that way makes total sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
He's market research has told them that they would make the most sense in their empire. And he's going to have a few one day at a time posts because something, you know, triggered him. And it's just, you know, and then they fucking gave him the line that I didn't want kids, but now I want kids so that every woman can be like, wow. Any man ever, doesn't matter what you look like, what you do for a living, what you've done in the past. If you tell a woman you want kids and that woman wants kids, you are like, I mean, you bump up 5 points, you accelerate yourself to date number 7, you are, you're meeting their family next week. Like, it is just, the amount of men who say they don't want kids, or who, like, make clear that they don't, or never make clear that they do, is astonishing to me.
Really?
Yeah. I've never really met a guy who said that.
Caitlin.
Yes. Have I met a man
guys,
who doesn't want
do
kids?
Do guys or say they don't want kids or what?
I'm trying to think of people I've dated because I feel like everyone I've been in a long-term relationship who are men have said that they wanted kids. And I've always been the holdout in that sense, right? Of being like, I don't know if that's what I want. I'm not sure if that's a thing I want to do. But every man I've dated seriously has said that they do want children and they want to be a dad.
But have they said, like, have they put forward real plans? Because I've heard men say stuff like, when I have kids. I've never heard men say stuff like, well, to have kids, you really should have this and this and this planned out, and you should have looked at this. I don't know any non-religious men who have really had a plan.
No, you're actually totally right. I'm thinking of the people I've dated who have been like gung-ho on kids to a point where I've worried, is it a problem in our relationship that like I'm certainly not ready now, and I'm not sure if and when I will be ready, you know? And they're so into kids, so is that a thing I really need to worry about? None of them have ever had a really concrete plan for like how your life changes when you have children, right? It's usually been like they like being around kids. Maybe they have like friends with kids or nieces or nephews or whatever, and they
like them. Yeah, people for sure know, Craig. It's not a mystery to anybody what it takes to have kids. It shouldn't be a mystery.
We're getting off track here.
No, we're not.
Zach says he suddenly wants kids. So
it's a producer-fed line so that women across America will go, oh, no way.
That might explain the Twitter reaction, actually. That might explain why everyone on Twitter is all like pro Zach now. I didn't think of that.
Totally. There is no way. If he said he didn't and now he says he does, why? What has changed? Nothing.
Well, he went on a nationally televised dating show.
So? What has changed? What has changed though? Like, has anything changed about him?
He's changed, DZR. He has.
Okay, well, whatever. Anyways, Caitlin, don't take
that. No, this is a good thing. Oh. I wanted to like put in here, right, is that he's mentioned this, I think he brought it up maybe as the last episode or the one before that, like last week's episode, that he'd said like, yeah, he didn't know if he wanted a family and now he's decided he has. And then they talk about it specifically like with his parents and with Tayshia there, and that conversation between Tayshia and his mom. His mom and his brother seemed initially like slightly not on board, and I don't know if that's just something I was reading in or it's part of the drama or whatever, but they were kind of like, oh, you know, how are the other relationships going, who else are you in love with, like, kind of thing, which is like a valid question to ask if you're a family on The Bachelorette and you know that they're dating other people, you know, to be like, is it him or is it somebody else, you know. But his mom, very much, he talks to his mom and says meeting Tayshia has made him realize that he was like lying to himself when he said he didn't want a family, he didn't need kids, blah blah blah. And she's like, thank God. And I'm like, this is the reaction my mom would have if I said, Mom, I've decided I really want children. She'd be like, yes, you know? And she's that was like his mom's reaction. And she says the thing to Tayshia about it too, where she's like, if you're the reason that changed, like, now I love you for sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I think you have a good point that I think there's a narrative here that we're all supposed to buy into, that he said he didn't need to like have a great marriage or a relationship and he didn't want kids because he had all these other things in his life and blah, blah, blah. Right. And now he's met the right person. So it all changed. That's very much like, that's a straight up like rom-com Hallmark movie kind of narrative. But it is something that would make me suspicious if I was dating somebody and they said that, to be like, you decided on a dime that like now, because you've met me, and again, they haven't even known each other that long and they have no idea what it's like to date outside of this show or how their lives are going to change when they're together yet and all that kind of stuff that would, in a logical relationship, be something you'd be thinking about in terms of like planning having a family, right? That like you'd want to know where you're living and how things are working and stuff like that. But he very much has just said, you know, well, now he's into it because of Tayshia. And if it was me, again, I don't know, you're more in touch with Tayshia's feelings than I am. If it was me, I would find that a little suspicious, since he knows, because she said it to other men and possibly to him, that she 100% wants kids. She wants a big family. She said she wants five kids. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of family.
So by the way, that was my number two. When I was her, a little younger than her, but still. Once I realized reality, I was like, oh no.
Yeah, don't get me started.
What's happening here is if he hadn't said he wants kids, then that means it might be a deal breaker for her, right? Like if he was on the side of saying like, I don't know if I want children, that's a reason to eliminate him because Tayshia definitely wants them.
Yeah, so they're tying up their loose ends.
That that pushes him up further to say, well, now they're not a mismatch in that area, whereas they were 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was, and I think Craig, you accidentally hit it on the head too. You said he's changed, and that's the narrative. And Caitlin, that's what you were saying too, is that that's the narrative they're trying to give us, that he has changed. Ergo, he's ready for her. Like they're finally meeting somewhere where they both want to be. And that's if we're going to touch about on like social mores how to describe this. A lot of women tend to be very sour grapes on kids. Like if they can't get them or if they don't see a path to it, they will pretend like they never wanted them. I see this. I know lots of 39-year-olds, 38-year-olds who are like, yeah, I don't think I wanted them. Then there are people who legit never wanted them, and that's fine. I think that men don't really think like that. They have much more time. We've talked about the fertility cliff with Claire. They have a much more time. They don't have the restraints that women do. So I don't buy him changing his mind.
Do you know humans are the only animal that have menopause?
What about dolphins?
They don't have, I don't know. But humans are the only ones.
This is not about menopause.
Ergo, dolphins don't have menopause.
This is not about menopause. Are you sure? We don't know that. I don't think we know that. But why? Yeah, sure. Why do you say that? Because, well, maybe menopause means that we have lived too long. Our lifespan has gone up too far.
Mm-hmm. The evolutionary theory I read is that it's so grandparents can focus on raising their grandkids because the developmental stage of humans is so long, 18 years or whatever, that you need your grandparents' help in order to raise kids. So evolution added menopause so that the grandparents weren't having kids of their own. It's interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting. I'd like to read that. I don't think I'd have to read it to know, but what does that does not, how does, what does that have to do with my, with
our, have anything to do with it.
Okay, Zach.
It's just a fun factoid.
Okay, well, I don't buy anything. Caitlin, no offense, but goddamn, these fucking East Coasters, they always are where they don't want to be. Why? Not you, ones that are here, like that
they
one.
Always are where they don't want to be.
Yeah, they're always like, oh, back in New York, and back in Boston, and back in, whatever, East Coast, Like, go home then. Cool. This is what he was doing, his shitty-ass date. I don't...
Hold on. I don't mean to be defending Zach here, but that was the point of the date, to show up on your hometown. Even though he's not from New York, he's from Southern New Jersey.
Yeah, he's from the Philadelphia suburbs, Jersey part.
So he's not even, he grew up in the Philadelphia part where people tend to go to Philadelphia?
Yeah, he grew up, it's like South Jersey, basically North Jersey is like a New York commuter suburb and South Jersey is more of a Philly commuter suburb. Where he is from, Haddonfield, New Jersey, is very close to Philadelphia.
So after all that, he acts like, oh yeah, this is me. This is so me.
Well, I thought she knows how to hail a cab. This date, I wrote literally in all caps, of course a New Jersey person would plan a New York City date. Because this is exactly like, I'm getting real East Coast New Yorker over here, but this is the stereotype that all New Yorkers have of New Jerseyans. They wish they were us, you know?
They totally,
it sounds so
totally
snobby to say, but it's absolutely what people think, where they're like, oh, New Jersey people wish they were from New York, so they do a lot of New York cultural stuff. Not to say, I actually really like a lot of New Jersey. I mean, I wrote my undergrad thesis on New Jersey. So even though I'm not from there, I do have a fondness for Jersey. But the fact that he would plan a New York City date, I mean, I guess that's where he's living now is what it sounded like. But it's very Jersey suburban, like bridge and tunneler kind of thing to be like, oh, I'm going to do everything is about New York. It's not about my actual like hometown where I grew up. It's about the big city.
Right.
Yeah. He's
yeah. Also, I have so many more New Yorker feelings about this. I'll make them short because I know you're not going to
get no, go ahead. Much. Please rag on him. Do it.
That. So the food options, right. The pizza looked fucking terrible, man. They were like, hey, you have a New York slice? And I was like, she still has it, because that's like frozen pizza right there. That is not a New York slice. That's gross-ass hotel pizza. I agree with him about in the beginning part of the date when they go to the bagel selection. Again, bagels look pretty bad to me. Just, you know, you got to get more in close, I guess, to know fully. But those bagels did not look like nice bagels. And he says the thing about, you know, blueberries on bagels, and they're having their banter about like, and I was like, all right, Zach is right about bagel purity. As an East Coast New Yorker, like, you don't put that shit on a bagel. A bagel is supposed to have certain things on it, and what, fruit is not one of them. So
I do like blueberry bagels fruit? Myself.
But she actually put, I thought she was just eating it with it, because I didn't see bagels on it, like a, yeah, like they a pepperoni. Didn't
show a shot like that, but she seemed to imply they were in the same bite and it was great or whatever.
Well, it was a blueberry cream cheese is what I thought.
Oh, see, yeah, that's wrong. It's just wrong.
It's not. I'm on Zach's side again here. What the hell is going on?
Well, no, Zach said it was wrong.
Tasia's side.
Yeah, I'm on Tasia's
side there. Okay. Because yeah. Zach was like, no, not about that life, which I agree with him. And I will say, the part where he says, you know, they're going to his favorite part in New York, and it's a park bench, right? And Tasia says, Central Park. That is not a fucking backdrop of Central Park. Central Park does not have a skyline river view. It's in the middle of the island.
Right.
There's no riverfront seating in Central Park. So I was like, all right, you maybe this looks like it could be Battery Park or something. It's not Central Park. I'm offended that you're trying to act like it is. If you wanted to just say it was Central Park, just do a generic backdrop of like trees, because that's basically what it's gonna look like in there.
Right.
But
well, yeah,
that was all of my New Yorker feelings were like, of course he did this, even though he's from like a Philadelphia suburb and he's not from New York. Also, the part of the date where they end the daytime portion by going to the fountain where they had their first real convo. And I could see what I didn't like about this is part of it was like, oh, it's kind of fun to go into a fountain when it's super hot out, which it's like Palm Springs. So I'm assuming it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. So getting into any body of water would feel nice. And I absolutely have waded into a fountain when I've been in a hot place before, when you're like, there's no water, but it's too hot. But that's a hotel fountain, and they're lying down in the hotel fountain, making out in the shallow fountain water. And I was just like, ooh, I don't love that. And I don't like that what Zach said in his like interview, to camera thing about it, where he's like, you know, she just got right in her dress. She didn't worry about her hair or her makeup. And like, I love that about her. And it's like, well, yeah, because she's going to get changed after this anyway. So she's going to redo her hair and makeup for the evening portion. So it really doesn't matter. But you're like selling it as like, oh, what a fun, carefree gal who just like doesn't care. And it was like, sure, yeah, she's like having fun getting to a fountain or whatever, but it's not, she's not just leaving the fountain and then going to meet your parents directly in that same outfit.
She absolutely cares. If anyone cares, it's her. She cares. Like she, that's not like a selling, you know, it's just so, it's, yeah, fake. But like, she is the kind of woman who cares. And it's okay to care. Like that's okay.
Yeah, it is absolutely okay to care. I would care, and like, if it's super hot, I would totally get in there and not give a shit about like looking bad. But again, that's not even, you know what I mean? Like, she has access to hair and makeup folks in this bubble. She has access to a full wardrobe that she's about to head back to do. It is not, it felt like they were trying to sell it as like, oh, like, she's so in the moment with him, their relationship, blah. And it's like, no, it's just a fun thing to do for the cameras. And then she gets to take off her gross wet clothes immediately.
Mm-hmm. See, this is why I wear REI tactical pants.
Because
I can go in the water anytime I want.
this podcast sponsored by Tactical Pants.
Yeah. Well, on the flip
dry immediately.
Side of that, Caitlin, I can tell you, Ben is 100% not from Venice. I don't know where he's from. He is not from Venice, and that really, really bothered me too. Like, I have so, like, I'm going to do the LA thing and do a juice. Everyone likes juice. Juice is an LA thing. Get the fuck out of here. I'm sick of his ass. And he's been flying under my radar, and I'm realizing now that I hate him. I hate him on par with what's his face, Zach. I hate him. If we're done about Zach, I'm ready to talk about Ben, because
I think we've got enough Zach. And I will say, okay. Ben said, because I caught this quickly before the date, he's from Indiana, I'm pretty sure.
Makes sense.
Yes. Just kidding. I don't know that anything about Indiana. He is doing pretty much the exact same thing as Zach, in that he is choosing to do the hometown date around where he lives now versus where he is from.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I didn't know that, but I could tell you he is not from Venice, and he wants to do, now it's clear to me that he is also a lifestyle brander, and he would have been perfect for that. Why they chose Zach over Ben, I don't know.
He brings on Antoniona.
Antonia?
Who's like a famous, she's famous what? On the Food Network.
Yes.
I had no idea.
He's her.
I knew about this.
He's her physical train. I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Trainer.
Trainer.
Yeah. And she won a season of Top Chef.
Whoa. Yes. I know this because our podcast super fan Jocelyn texted me this. She watches Top Chef. I don't actually, so I wouldn't have caught this otherwise. But she was like, oh, I recognized her immediately. It's Antonia Lofoso from Top Chef. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, so that kind of fits into what you're saying, EZR, is like he's like a lifestyle guy.
For sure he is. Yeah, he's sad he won't be on TV one more week. But I would like to discuss this horrible acting by him. Okay, let's just listen, because to me this is his. So I feel like he's acting love. He's acting out what love is. And he already, here's another narrative that a first grader could follow. I don't cry. I don't know how to cry. Therefore, from now on, if I'm sad, don't expect me to cry. You know, they had this set, something that has to be used later as a plot device. Oh, he's sad. Believe him. He's telling you that his heart's racing. Believe him when he tells you his palms are sweating or whatever. Mom spaghetti. Because he is not going to cry. It is if I were to give a screenwriting class for elementary school kids, this is the kinds of thing I would tell them to do. Make sure you have a dumb plot device so that way people don't expect that to happen later. It's so bad. Okay, so let's listen to it.
I'm in love with her.
That's, I know. I sat down. I was just like, you love her. Like, what are you talking about?
She's so
this
great.
This acting. Yeah. Ooh, from
I just don't
influencer.
Know how to say it.
Same way you say it to all of us.
I know.
The same way that you say it to everyone else.
The first thing Antonia said, she sat down, she goes, you love her, don't you? And in the moment, I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I feel a certain
Shut
way.
Shut up. And after why am I playing you?
I was like, I am in love with her. My brain's exploding. I did not know it was love until Antonia called me.
My brain's exploding.
How do you feel?
So good.
Okay, about, listen, like, for him struggling to not to keep in that he loves
so
her.
Easy. I don't know.
Struggle music.
I'm incredibly uncomfortable. I'm super nervous. My heart rate's never been higher.
Explain your feelings.
I just, my brain couldn't work.
You gotta go to bed.
So I have to stand up and now watch you walk away.
You can't even fake interest.
Bye.
See ya.
See ya.
In season fashion, I just blew it. I'm in love with her, and I should have told her. And now I'm terrified that I won't get a rose this week.
Bargaining for a rose.
Oh, the real truth comes out.
Mm-hmm. I'm terrified I won't get a rose. I should have told her I loved her, because then I don't. Yeah, it's like, it's right there, because there's... when you really feel an emotion, I feel like you find a lot of words. And when you don't, you recycle the same crap over and over again. And I know that The Bachelor lends itself to, like, recycle everything, but it's just so insincere. And I can't believe all his like, sob stories have kind of, I want to say, like, derailed me from seeing him.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
It's a Kaylin strategy that Kaylin, the contestant on Colton's season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, so I agree that Ben comes across, well, just there, you know, and he said, like, now I will get a rose. And he's done similar things on previous weeks where he says, you know, he's worried he's not going to get a rose because he hasn't been opening up or whatever else. So it often has come across in this way of, like, he's playing the game. He's trying to progress, not because he's, like, super, super into Tayshia and wants to marry her, but more like he's in the game. He wants to win the game. I did feel bad for him when he was dumped, because I think there's an element of truth to the thing where he's, like, bad at talking about his feelings or whatever, right? I don't think he knows how to express himself in these certain ways that, like, he was like, I have emotions, I don't talk about them. And it's like, yeah, that's a thing I could see being true, especially when he's talked about in the past episodes, you know, about his eating disorder and his depression and suicide attempts. He never says that he got therapy for any of those, right? It's more his sister helped him get through this. And I'm like, oh boy, you need some therapy, because while having, like, supportive family members is obviously great in those situations, your sister is not, like, a professional in helping you figure out your shit. You know, he needs to be talking to a professional to get over this kind of stuff. And so I don't think I don't think he's, like, legit in love with her. I think maybe he's thinking, like, I like her a lot. Maybe I should be in love. Is this, like, a thing? Should I be doing this? But he also is just very the kind of person who wouldn't be talking about that stuff, it seems, very naturally in any case. So yeah, I see it as, like, I felt bad for him. I did feel like he was like, oh no, I fucked this thing up. But I also don't know if it would have been genuine for him to say it in any case.
I am going to say he is total bullshit. And here is a no, like, nothing, just on it for his brand, because he wants to make, like, a 30-day, oh, here, sign up to my meal plan, and I'm a you know, he wants to have a brand, and here is my proof.
I just, my brain couldn't.
Wait, hold on. Craig, call this
watch
out.
Watch you walk away.
Bye.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya next time.
See ya. Well, I will say that Jay in L.A., friend of the pod, put on Twitter last night, was very concerned about the recentness of his two suicide attempts and how that might be playing in or be a factor in all this. And, like, what's he going to do now?
No, well, that's the thing, is that if it, and yeah, there you go. If the suicide attempts were taken seriously, why would you put him through a regular rose ceremony? Why wouldn't you take him aside early on? It just seems like they were all in on it and they didn't catch that. Oh, we should have done it that way so that it's not, it doesn't look bad. Because that is a, if I have no place to say whether they're suicide attempts or not, but if those were legit suicide attempts, would you really put someone through a reality TV show and then get them cut like that? When she's shown a lot of compassion for others.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want to put Riley through one. She didn't want to put, I feel like, someone else through one. It's just a strategy. Now you get a lot more likes with sad stories than you do with happy things. Or if you keep a balance, actually, that's probably the best way. If you get too sad, then people are like, oh, you're crying wolf. If you get too happy, then it's like you're fake and you just put the good side of things. I mean, this is, I know that's true all the time, but having, like, a really sad story on Facebook or Instagram or social media gets you so much more sympathy than, like, one happy thing that happens if you're just a balanced person online. And I think that's the new MO of anyone that comes on. They know to have I'm going to call it the Kaylin strategy, although she didn't invent it. She just capitalized on it. It didn't work in her favor because she's very problematic in other ways. But I feel like this guy is, he had two things in his pocket. And it, you remember Cameron on Hannah B's season? You guys
remember?
The
you mean
guy
Tyler?
Who rapped? Yeah, Cameron? The guy who rapped. Cameron.
He was on Paradise as well after that.
Yes, and no one liked him. Obviously, producers had a huge problem, didn't like him. He has, I want to say this correctly, lymphedema or lymph, it has to be lymphedema. So it's some kind of genetic disease that causes you to almost die all the time. He went on not to make a brand, but to promote awareness of the disease. He got so shit on for that. And that's a legit thing he has that no one knows about. I didn't know, I'm saying a word now that I don't really know what it is, but I do follow him and he does promote it. And he goes around and he has a shirt that says, ask me about my, genetic disease or something. That is okay with me. Like co-host Chris would have said, if you're not going on for some reason, then maybe you're,
right.
Then you have to be going on for some reason other than quote unquote true love or whatever.
Right.
But I feel like that's the line. Cameron is okay because he went on to talk about something that he thought was important to him, and they gave him, if you guys remember, the circus music cut. Like he's telling a story and they're giving him this like background music that's like ding 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 ding, like oh what a. This guy's not okay. This guy is obviously just on here to get a pity rose. That was a Mike line. And then it's okay if Kaylin does it. It's okay if this guy does it. It's okay if so many other people do it and just go on to promote their lifestyle brand.
And this Where's all relates to Ben. Because he's promoting his lifestyle brand via possibly suicide attempts. And
eating disorders,
Food Network stars,
and his eating disorder.
Yeah, his eating disorder. Yeah,
I want to see what happens, but it is so blatant and obnoxious. Don't you think?
Yeah,
I don't know, Kate.
I didn't get it nearly as much. Like, I can get being suspicious of motives for sure on a lot of people because I think this is one thing I've heard people say about Claire at the beginning of the season, right? Is that the reason why Claire would potentially make a good bachelorette is that she legit wants to get married. And that is certainly true, right? That like she wants a relationship, she wants to get married. It's not really about lifestyle per se. And that is very hard to say for other people on the show, right? That it is hard to tell sometimes if they were legit there just to promote something with the, possibility of being like, well, maybe I'll meet somebody who's really amazing and that would be cool. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's very hard to tell with motives. I don't feel like comfortable branding Ben is solely a lifestyle person, but I can certainly see how people would read his arc, the things that he's done on the show, as sort of a way of getting attention for stuff, for making himself like a bigger character in certain ways. And the Cam stuff is interesting to me because you're like the way they edited Cam, they obviously hated him, like the producers and the show folks, because it was played as like, he's manipulative, he's just trying to get the pity rose, like, what a joke, this guy sucks. And like, he did have this disease that apparently he could almost die from, but we didn't get it played as though this is an actual sad story deserving of our sympathy. We got it presented to us as like, he's a joke.
Yeah. And I guess only, this is one of the instances where only time will tell, but I can tell you that the first things on his Instagram are Jim's ats, like follow these two that he must have stake in. Pictures of his diet and stuff like that. And I
a gym rat from Venice. That's original.
No, well, it's not about, I think he owns one of the, or he's trying to own one of the gyms by going on the back. I mean, it's a pure business move in so many ways.
Yeah.
But Claire was, yes, Claire and maybe even Tayshia went on for a husband. I don't doubt that she did, but also a husband she can have an Instagram relationship with.
Empire building.
And is, yeah. And okay. The motive used to be either or. The motive used to be either or. And now the motive is combined, thanks to Tayshia.
Yeah.
And okay. I think that's a big problem because these relationships are unbelievable. Not unbelievable, like, wow. Unbelievable, like, I can't believe in them.
Well, I mean, if I were, like, in my mid-20s and I started dating someone and they were like, let's combine our Instagram forces and be superstars, I'd be all for it.
But this is strategic. This is not like two people thinking up something. This is only for the yeah. Instagram. Like, well, this is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
All right.
I think we've done Ben way more than Ben deserves.
No. Deserves all of it.
Okay. Look, there's Brendan and.
Oh, yeah. Ivan.
Ivan. So. Let's, how about, do we really need to talk about both of them?
I don't have much.
Yeah, just, I think let's we just can do be like a quick version of
do a quick version of both of these here. Mm. And then we'll do the fashion roundup and get out of here.
Craig, where are you running to in a pandemic? Where are you going?
I'm trying to keep this a lid on the length of our podcast. Oh, that's okay. All.
I gotta
it's because
run.
He's standing again. So
yes. We've been recording for a while. Let's pick up the pace here. Look, Brendan, fine. Ivan, fine. Fashion roundup, go.
Well, I want to say a quick thing about Brendan, who I like Brendan.
I love him.
Who doesn't like Brendan?
He's great. So cute.
So cute.
I love that his brother absolutely, like, the second they introduced the family, I was like, oh, yeah, his brother's like a Massachusetts guy. This guy looks like every guy you meet in Massachusetts, basically. A very Massachusetts vibe. Other than that, I thought the carnival stuff was cute with his niece. It was all really cute. It felt very, like, yeah, that was like, oh, he seems like just a nice, sweet person. So for me, I'm always like, oh, I'm rooting for Brendan because he seems really nice. Mm-hmm. And it does seem like he and Tayshia have like a nice vibe together.
I like the way he speaks soft and slow, and Craig would hate it. He'd be like, get on with it.
Oh. Yes.
I love Brendan. It's so cute.
Yeah,
great.
Just adorable.
We're all in agreement.
No. We need to speak more. No, okay, go ahead. Yeah. Ivan.
Yeah, let's go to Ivan. Okay. I also thought this was a cute, like, the daytime date was very cute, right? That it was a video of his niece making lumpia.
Oh, right. That's awesome. Fashion roundup.
Ah, boo, Craig. Do you have anything to say about?
What do we have to say?
You don't have anything to say about the brother or the family or?
I don't know. Brother seems. I mean, look, we had a lot
surprise
to say about
brother
because we don't like him. We had a lot to say about Ben because we don't like him. But what do we have to say about Brendan or Ivan? That's all that original to the podcast here.
Mm.
They were normal dates and they might have a chance. Right? Good for
well,
them.
Well, I guess normally, Craig, at this point in the season, we tell them, you know, bungee jumping and traveling around the world is not real life. But in this case, it's very boring. So, yeah, this is what your life's going to be like. Crappy taxi rides. And
oh, my God.
So that it's so, you know, realistic. And who is the most, I mean, I don't know, their producer runs. But it's Ivan himself seems fine. We've never seen, again, I know people like that in real life, but I've never seen a someone like Ivan's brother on The Bachelor, which is good. Mm. That means The Bachelor at least is, yeah. Although they did give him
like
lines, right? They're like
tattoos, that kind of stuff.
Well, it's not the tattoos. It's the it's obviously the culture. And he said, and they still gave him lines, and they came out weird because he doesn't normally say, "You really like this girl?" or "Let's go talk by ourselves," right, or something.
Right.
So it's funny that they, it's like they're putting, you know, we know that they give people these lines. You want to go have a chat? But this was, it like stood out more because it was obviously given.
Right. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it felt a little stilted. I did like it was very cute to me to see both with Brendan and Ivan, how much like they loved their brothers was very obvious. You know, I thought that was sweet to see like, oh, these are nice relationships with people. It was just like cute to see, which is of course obviously what they want you to see. I did sort of laugh at some of like Ivan and his mom, when she mentions that the mom says that this is the longest they've ever gone without talking because they talk on the phone every day. And I was just like, of course they do. Like, it's just very, you know, like very sweet family stuff. Nothing too much else there to really go into. They both seem like likable people with very nice families.
Yeah. See, I was right. There's not much to talk about when it's all like there. Like,
yeah, I know, but yeah. It's a disservice not to. Okay, go ahead.
Well, what do you want to say about them then?
No, I'm saying it's a disservice not to at least mention them and not say, well, they're nice.
Sure, you have stuff written down. What do you have written down?
No, that I didn't. I honestly didn't. All I had to say was that I was thought it was funny that they gave the brother the lines.
Right.
And the lines like just came out so, you know, obviously forced or whatever the term is. Okay.
I did like the brother's kind of like white zip up hoodie thing he was wearing.
Oh, okay.
That was kind
of... Are we in the fashion roundup?
Whoa!
It's the fashion roundup. Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing.
Tayshia's pinkish dress that she wore for the rose ceremony in the second episode there. Very nice.
Pinkish.
Mm-hmm. It was pink, right? It was like pinkish.
Caitlin. Yeah, like I'm trying to remember. I think I wrote notes for this. Hang on.
It was very it made her look very hourglassy.
So it was a pink floral silk halter dress. And I wrote down because I didn't like it actually. Which is why I mentioned it. And I don't know, it just is like the kind of thing that sometimes Tayshia will wear something and I'll see like, oh, like I love that. I would want to wear that. And then sometimes she'll wear stuff that looks good on her because again, everything looks good on Tayshia, but is just not my style at all. And this is one of those things where I'm like, a halter pink silk floral dress is not something I would ever want to wear. So on my list, it's like, oh, I don't like, but it looks good on her because I mean, she can carry off the weirdest of outfits on this
show. It's got to suck to be someone like Tayshia where you can go into any boutique store and everything's going to fit you.
Is this? You already said that in your life. Did you know you already said that, Craig?
I've said that on the podcast?
Yes, you said that exact line on the podcast.
Well, it's true.
Yeah. I think you said about Tayshia before and how much it's... Well, yeah, she's just one of those people where, like, she can't look bad in almost anything. She has to really be, like, trying to look bad, basically.
Well, when they clip clothes for fashion, they're going to clip them to about the proportions and height of someone like Tayshia. So there's some truth to that.
She has really big breasts that are heavy, that are, like, that pull down. So I think they have to, like, it's hard to find skinny big-breasted things. Poor woman, but no, like it's hard to find stuff like that.
No, it is true. There's very much like the rest of her body is probably in that size where it's like literally everything fits you, but the boobs, because they're so big, it is something where that's not like a sample size fashion kind of thing, Craig. It's like some outfits would be harder to wear than others because she has to account for bust size. And well, you know, one interesting thing to me,
I do
sample sale.
I do.
One thing that's interesting to me, right? We're talking about her bust size and fitting into clothes, is that something like that halter dress is something that I would say as a woman who has a bust as well. Like, I don't wear stuff like halters because you either have to have a really great strapless bra or like a built-in kind of thing for support.
Right.
Most of Tayshia's stuff seems like it has like a built-in, you know, and she's been wearing these dresses with like low or no back, so there's probably some like boning support stuff built in the front for the boobs. The halter dress, there wasn't any of that, because I remember distinctly noticing that it was like, oh, I don't think there's like a bra she can wear with this at all.
No, right. And see that it's kind of the classic, you think it will look good on you and fit you, and she likes the style, but it probably doesn't normally fit her. And it was a long, hard road before I realized a lot of stuff, me too, like, doesn't fit me as well because of my breasts. And so, like, even though this, everything else fits on this, I can't button it. And it looks bad when I can't button something or when I try to button it. And I think being an influencer and being, you know, probably having clothes tailored at this point is great, because it looks like everything looks good on you.
Well, everyone should get their clothes tailored.
That's
a life
make
lesson.
This argument. Craig, what do you think about,
you know, inexpensive Zach's... it is to tailor clothes?
Yeah, very, like $3 for like a hem.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
I know.
Yeah.
Craig, what yes. about Zach's mom's halter? Is that why you thought she was a wino? Because she's like dressed in a halter?
Well, she's like, everything about her is her hair is bleached too many times. It's been crimped too many times. She goes into the tanning bed, which she shouldn't do.
You're just laughing.
And yeah, she's wearing this. Wasn't she wearing like a low cut, like silvery thing? I'm trying to remember.
No, she's wearing like a black. Caitlin, do you remember her dress? It was black halter top, like super small. I mean, I don't know where it reached on her leg, but like, it was, I get that it's hot, but it's not never that hot. Like,
it's air conditioned when you're inside.
It's never that hot. I didn't really notice the mom's outfit, but I will say, being like too tan and hair being too fried from process use is also very New Jersey regional. So yeah. I would not be too harsh on her for that. That is like the world that she operates in.
Yeah.
I totally would not have expected that. I thought she looked very like burnt out, you know, like a burnt out mom.
Yeah, you know, all that wine, all that Xanax, that catches up to you. What?
I feel too bad far? For like saying all these things about Zach's mom, who we have no idea what's going on. But yeah, her style is very, to me, like New Jersey hot mom. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess that just has like a connotation look to me and Craig that's very like trying to be that, and it looks very bad. Like, it looks good.
So
on
who was wearing the silvery top? Where am I making that up? Is anyone wearing the silvery top?
I don't remember a silvery top in this two-episode stretch. I did notice, because I thought it was very funny, that Ivan's mom and Tayshia were wearing the exact same color dress.
Yeah, like orangish, reddish kind of.
It's like an orangey, and it looked kind of a little shiny, like maybe it was a silk or something kind of dress. So it looked like they were wearing the same dress in slightly different styles.
Well, the only thing I caught from that was and I'm not blaming Tayshia for this. She didn't do anything wrong. But the mom goes, "You look so beautiful." And Tayshia goes, "Thank you." It doesn't say "you look beautiful" back, which I thought was kind of a diss. Because isn't that what you would say?
Mean it, but
yeah, she didn't mean it. But isn't that what you would say? It's like, oh, you look beautiful too.
You don't want to. It sounds insincere. I feel like it invalidates the person who says it first.
Oh, really?
Because it's like saying,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, you do too. Therefore, I was never going to say it unless you said it. Also, it's like a hello now if you do it that way.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I see that. It would have been funnier if she had been like, "We're matching" or something. You know, like to me, that would have made more sense as a response. Yeah. But
there you go.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cute that they probably unintentionally matched each other. Speaking of matching stuff, there's a few other instances of that in these two episodes. You notice when Tayshia is saying goodbye to Blake after their date, their one-on-one thing. She's wearing a gigantic purple crystal ring that is like very clear in the shot, because she has like her hand around his neck or something as they're saying goodbye. And I was like, oh, look at that nice synergy. You wore a big crystal ring to like Crystal's date, basically. Okay. I was like, am I crazy for noticing this thing? But I was like, that ring is nice, but also crystal.
I think you and I have to have a talk, Caitlin. I think I think you need some help with your insanity.
What? I don't get what you're shitting her on for noticing it or for being a crystal person.
I'm just because Caitlin asked, am I crazy? And I'm saying, well, you might be.
Yeah. Also, a really nice matching moment is Tayshia and Brendan on the evening portion of the family date were they were wearing like matching outfits. I don't know if you guys noticed this either. She was wearing this very cute dress that was like, it was black and had like kind of a big slit up the thigh, but like buttons going down to the slit, if all of this makes sense. It looked great on her. And Brendan was wearing a black polo with like white piping, black pants, and like black lace up shoes. And I was like, oh, they look like they're literally matching. Like, it's very cute.
Huh. Did you just call it piping? Like when you do a cake?
Is that what it's called? Yeah, like the edges. I think that's what you would call it too. I don't know, maybe it's not. And I just thought of this, but it was like a black polo shirt where the edges of like on the pocket, the edge of the little collar were all like little white piping.
I thought that was like a polo shirt. I guess I didn't really like look. I didn't look that closely, but I thought it was a polo shirt. When you call it piping, it makes it sound like it was puffy and fringe, like in lacy or something, or you know, something.
No, it was none of those things. Okay. It was just like a polo shirt. Edges. It was a good polo. I feel like
it was. It was like a white edges like $70 made it, like, polo.
Stand out nice. You know, it looked good on him. Great outfit. I love that they matched.
It's like when you go to Tommy Bahama.
No,
and
Craig.
All the clothes there, and they're all like $150 for a shirt.
What's the penguin? Brand.
Oh, why am I forgetting what it's called? I know what you're talking about.
Oh, we're gonna buzzer ourselves. We're gonna look
like
it up.
Original penguin or something.
What's the alligator? What's that called?
That's Lacoste.
Yeah, it's Lacoste.
Okay. It wasn't so he was any wearing of those. A penguin or it he didn't was have the alligator. Little like It didn't have a penguin or alligator on it, so it's not one of those brands.
Oh, well, it looked as expensive as those brands. Original Penguin, I guess it's called. I didn't think that. I didn't think it was going to be called that. But yeah, it looked like sleek like that, you know?
I know what you mean. It's also, I cannot believe that I recalled Original Penguin is the actual name, and I think it's because of the OC, the show, that like, what they wore Original Penguin polos a lot, like Seth Cohen's character. That was like his look.
Oh. Okay.
There was a period of time where I wore polos like to work, but otherwise.
You have to be cool.
No, collar. I do not wear nor wear collars. So that like it was super uncomfortable that period of life.
Is it a neck thing? Collars. Like you don't like things touching your neck?
Yeah, exactly. I don't feel like I have a particularly long neck. So I feel like when I wear a collar, it makes me look very turtle-y.
Well, that's what you say, but does it bother you when things touch your neck, period?
Not if someone's, like, kissing my neck, but yeah.
Ew, no. Well, I kind of was going there.
Ew, Craig, no one was talking about that.
Yeah, I don't like stuff that touches my neck.
Yeah.
Like, it just, because then I feel like a turtle.
Like, you wouldn't wear a choker or something you wouldn't wear, like, a choker or a
turtleneck. No.
Ah. Interesting.
Although there was a period where I wore turtlenecks.
See, actually, I'm the same in that I like the look of a turtleneck, but I don't usually like wearing them because it feels very like tight on my neck. Weirdly, you know that I'm just like, I don't know. Something about it just feels odd. So like, there's only very specific turtlenecks that I'll actually wear. Yeah.
It's all the scary stories to tell in the dark effect for people our age, Caitlin. Like about the choker killing, you know, taking it off and then your head falling off. That's my.
What?
Okay. So everyone
what
I know
earth are you talking about?
Who read Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark that like.
Which I loved.
Book. Oh, you did. Okay.
I absolutely know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we like everyone I know who doesn't like that, who doesn't have like a sensory issue about it. It's all because of that. And me too. Like I used to sleep with the blanket right on my neck so that my head wouldn't fall off. Like I had big, big nightmares about it.
This is because of a book?
Yes, it's because of a kid's book that has no place being a kid's book, but it was. No, it's really
not for kids, honestly. Like, some of the stories in that, I'll make this a short segue, but I was road tripping from Texas to New York when I was, I think I was 24 when this story happened. And I'm with one of my very good friends, and we're driving in Tennessee. It's late at night. I hit a blowout tire on the highway. And there was something making a noise under my car. So we're pulling over to the side of the highway, like the shouldery area, and going towards the next exit at like 2 miles per hour or something. So we can get out and really look at the car. And it's making this funny noise, you know. And I turned to my friend Kara and I said, this noise is like the hook hand killer. In more scary stories, you know, and she screamed and slapped me immediately. It was an automatic response. And she was like, oh, hook hand killer, you know.
I'm telling you, it haunts people's dreams. Like, you can't. I had a similar story. We were parking at the side of the road. It was me and two friends. And then I said, did you guys ever read, some story from... scary stories tell in the dark, and immediately my friend goes, that's it, turns on the car, starts driving. I'm not tired anymore, I can't sleep. With that,
okay, that's enough car talk.
Have to run.
Yeah,
all right,
okay.
Enough.
Well, Craig,
more clothes. We have more clothes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Turtlenecks, speaking of them, lots of turtlenecks on these two episodes. In the Mentel All, Riley was wearing one kind of like a thick red turtleneck with a blazery thing on top of it. Damar was wearing one too. These guys love their turtlenecks. Brendan, of course, wore it several times over these episodes. And there was, there's one or two of his that I really liked. Hang on, I'm looking at my notes. The one he wore in the last rose ceremony to get to the top three guys. It was a black turtleneck, but with a blue suit. Liked the color combo, thought it looked good on him. We should talk about the Mentel All fashion, because there was some weird stuff happening there. Kenny's camo print suit with a hoodie underneath? Easier, did you see this?
No, not really, because Noah said his star tattoo on his neck, and so then I got super distracted.
He talked about that, clothes. But Noah did mention the suit, too. He was wearing a suit, but the suit was a camo print, and not even a nice camo print. It was Kenny's whole style is a very specific club guy in 2002 gross style, basically. Yeah.
It's so over.
And this is exactly it's very much that style. Camo print suit with a gray hoodie coming out the back of it was just oof. Bad look.
The thing is, maybe he thinks he looks good in it. That's the worst part. He's so confident. And the shaved sides with the Boy Meets World haircut, the tiny head. This is not fashion, but he has a tiny head, but big shoulders, and it makes, and all his fashion kind of accentuates that. He has a very bony head. And if he just grew some hair, it would not be as obvious to me. And he's, it's outdated, super outdated look.
It's a very very outdated, very specific time and place. Like, I would say Jersey Shore when I'm in high school, that look, I'd see that there. Somewhere in Florida around the similar time period is when I would also expect to see that look. So not a great look on Kenny.
You can't go back on nautical tattoos, everybody. It's too late.
It is way too late. Bennett had some looks as well. What he wore when he shows up to be like, I'm back, guys, was a purple and blue check suit. And I wrote that it is straight up ugly, plus loafers with no socks, of course. That's how you do it. And at Mentel All, he was wearing loafers, but was with socks, presumably because it was colder weather when they were shooting. They were cable knit socks or something. It was very sweatery socks. And a suit with a big purple scarf open on it, similar to his first night out of the limo look, where he had the white scarf with the tux, same kind of thing, but it was a purple scarf. So doubling down on his look for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want anyone to remember me as a Harvard douchebag. And then he does everything he can yeah. for people to remember him as a Harvard douchebag.
Yeah, that's not who I am, except fashion-wise, I very much am that guy. Except
even everything people I from do. Harvard are like, ugh.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the way I speak and the things that I do, yes, I am a Harvard D-bag, but do not remember me that way.
Right.
Wow.
Okay, that's enough. I think we did it.
Craig, guess what? I'm laying down. Jealous.
Why don't How are you laying it? Down? Don't you have a microphone that's like on a table?
I'm holding it.
Oh,
I'm holding it.
Are you sitting or standing, Kaylin?
I'm laying down.
I am sitting cross-legged on my couch.
Oh. I'm pacing back and forth.
Stop it.
So there you go.
Take a seat.
Yeah, this
it's
is
how
why
I say
you're always so
sharp and focused.
No, you are antsy and annoyed.
We've been recording for this is gonna be a long episode. You were the one that wanted us to have shorter episodes.
Cut all of it out.
Cut some stuff, I guess. But I feel like
I'm
long episodes are not
stuff.
A problem in this
I know,
time.
I don't mind long episodes either, but it was easier. That was the one that was like, we need shorter episodes.
No, we just need
I'm not
just
cutting
it.
Anything. There's nothing to cut. It was a good
There's
episode.
Tons to cut.
No, I'm not cutting. Not cutting.
Cut it all out. Do an art project. Upload yeah. blank. Craig,
yeah.
I'm going to get you for art for the rest of my life. Didn't anyone yell at you? Like, are you getting an art degree? Are you serious?
No, not really.
Oh, okay. I would have gotten yelled at. My mom has an art degree, and I still would have gotten yelled at.
I mean, unless it's like pre-law or engineering, it doesn't really matter what your degree is in. So
yeah, that's a fair point.
I have a science degree, and it worked out great. Like, what are you talking about? Science is, you get a job anywhere.
I say my parents were, well, not my parents total. My dad is very much one of those, like, study what you want to study, or don't go to school at all. It's all good kind of people. But my mom was like, very much like, go to school. Also, a humanities degree? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just playing our parents' generation, although not my parents' like role. But I agree. You don't anymore. It is not necessary anymore because now everyone has a degree in something.
Yeah.
So it's like it's bumping up the. There's
yeah,
the science
master's degree is the new bachelor degree. Yeah.
Credential creep, etc.
Credential creep. I like that. Okay, look, I'm cutting this off. We'll be back next week. If you love what you're hearing, you just can't get enough. We'll be back next week. And then we get, 2 weeks off? And then we start back up with The Bachelor?
Only get Christmas Day off.
Wow.
So basically, we skip a week and then we go into The Bachelor.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you. Just acting like we're...
I think it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't we have
what
two
about
episodes
women?
Next week?
Go. Yeah.
Yeah, it's another Monday, Tuesday. Yeah.
Well, do you not want to do the women look at the We Look at the Women thing?
Oh, well, how much time do we have between, I guess, is the thing.
I just told you. I think
it's
2 weeks.
Like 1 week or 2 weeks? 2 weeks, I'd probably do it. 1 week, I'd be like, no, let's not.
Yeah, if it's only like a week off, I could let's go right into that. But if we get it 2 weeks, we could do a countdown episode, sure.
Okay.
All right. Okay, y'all. See you later.
Bye, Craig.
Bye.